Amen. A lot of wonderful, wonderful things that we were able to celebrate this morning. And as I said earlier, there are a lot of people from Brooke to Miss Beverly, Lynn, the different teachers that are out there with our children's ministry. And I ask that you all continue to pray for them, to look at them sometimes and say thank you for what they're doing, because they sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their time of coming into the church, and they give up a service, whether that's a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, a Sunday night service. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you all, because it blesses me more than anything to see children and anybody else that are being discipled, because that's what we're called to do, not just to make converts. So we praise God for that. Last Sunday, we began talking about the non-negotiables, if you will, of Christianity, or the absolutes of Christianity. I said last Sunday there are 41,000 Christian denominations that are out there. If there's 41,000 Christian denominations, then there's 41,000 different beliefs of something within that array of denominations that you have out there. You have different types of Baptists, as I said. It doesn't mean anything just to be a Baptist. You have to know what type of Baptist are you, because you have Southern Baptist, National Baptist, you know, American Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Hard Shell Baptist, Memorial Baptist. You have all different types of Baptists, and all of those different types of Baptists believe something different about at least one theological concept. And you've got different Methodists, you've got different types of everything that are out there, and they all equals to about 41,000 different kinds of Christians that are out there. And I think the Bible has called us to be united, and I'm not pretty sure that we're doing that if we're split up into so many different types of beliefs that are out there. And so over the next several weeks, we'll begin to look at what are those core beliefs within Christianity that we just don't negotiate about, that are absolute core beliefs that we have, that you should have in common with any person that is a Bible-believing Christian. And those are the beliefs that we ought to split over if we're going to split. But there are so many things that we have split over in the Christian church over the past 2,000 years that mean nothing. But yet we start off and go bring a different church over here and getting folks there. For what? What is the differences in your beliefs and a different name that is on your sign that is out there? And so we looked at last Sunday, sola scriptura, and scripture only. And that is a belief that we have here at United Community Church, and every Christian church should, that the Bible is the only seat of authority. It is the only inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Not something that I should say, or a deacon should say, or something that you hear from another pastor or a Sunday school teacher. And it's certainly not like the Catholic Church, in that the Catholic Church, when the Pope gives a order about something, he can say today, if he wanted to, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And under Catholic doctrine, that supersedes the Bible. We are not that way. Okay, here, we are not that way. There is nothing that supersedes the Word of God. And we looked at that last Sunday. We took a look at sola scriptura, scripture only, and you had to couple that with faith. Faith believing that over 2,000 years, 40 different authors, people from all different walks of life, that this book was written by the inspiration of God himself, and the things that are in this book are true. It tells me in the Old Testament that Balaam's donkey spoke. And I used that last Sunday. I believe that Balaam's donkey spoke. The Bible tells me that Balaam's donkey spoke. I believe that God created the world in six days. That's because I get that from the Bible that is there. And so, you know, we've looked at some of those things. And on Wednesday nights here at the church, if you want to come and you want to talk about the negotiable beliefs, you want to talk about those beliefs that we all differ on, you can come Wednesday night, because we talk about them on Wednesday night. And we get deep and dive deep down in there about stuff. And everybody's going, I don't know about that, and I don't know about this, and I got to go home and study on that. That's not the case for these beliefs we're going to talk about on Sunday morning now. They're cut and dry. You can be dogmatic about it, which means that you can stand firm, unswavering, that scripture is it, not the Book of Mormon, not any other testament of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to look at the doctrine of the Trinity. I think that's integral to our beliefs about everything else. If you don't believe in the Trinity, I'm not sure you have a great understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Because if you don't believe that he is the Son of God, then he was just a man then. And if he was just a man, then we have a lot to worry about this morning. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 30. The Trinity is not something, and we get attacked about the Trinity all the time, it is not something that is named in the Bible. You will not read your Bible and find the word Trinity, Triune God, Trinitarian God. You won't find any of those things in the Bible. There's a lot of words you don't find in the Bible that we believe in today. And so let's look at this, John 10, 30. And this is Jesus that is talking here. He said, I and the Father are one. Pretty simple. I don't know how much simpler you can get. I and the Father are one. That Jesus Christ and the Father are one and the same people. Now, how can you possibly understand that? Let me just tell you something. You cannot understand that today. If you try to understand it, then it always opens up something else on the other side that just says, well, how does that work? Your brain cannot fathom how three people can be one and they're all one, but then they're all three separate and doing separate different things, but they're all three still one. You just can't understand that. And the only way that I have been able to try to fit my brain around it is water. Water is H2O, two hydrogen, one oxygen. But you can take water, and it's ice, right? You freeze it, becomes ice, hey, H2O. You know, a little vapor, steam, or something like that, and, you know, liquid water, such as this in this bottle right here. All three, the same fundamental property, but they're in three different phases. And that does not give you the whole scope of what the Trinity is. But I can tell you, when you get knocked upside the head with a block of ice, it's a little bit different than getting some steam blown at you. Okay, and so you got three different. You would say, "Oh, that was that." You wouldn't say, "Oh, that was just water that hit me." You would say, "That was ice." And see, when you have a move of the Holy Spirit, you say, "That's the Holy Spirit." When it wasn't the Holy Spirit necessarily that died on the cross of Calvary, that was Jesus. But they are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you want to see all three of them in action together, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And we're going to go through several verses of Scripture because this morning I want you to know what you believe and I want you to know why you believe what you believe. Not Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go to another one that'll say that, but I said that wrong. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 gives us the command. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We would not be baptizing anybody in the name of something that was not a God, was not something that was a part of the Godhead. And you are to baptize people in the name of all three members of the Trinity. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at the moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and him I am well pleased. You see all three of the members of the Trinity right there. You've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, you've got God the Father with the heavens open saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You see those operating throughout the entirety of the Bible. People will say, and you have many different beliefs even within Christianity that say that Jesus was born. Yes, Jesus was born, and we're going to go through that in a moment. But then you have John 1:1 that said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is Jesus. You see in the book of Genesis that they said, we made man in our image, in our likeness. Well, God's not crazy. He wasn't, you know, speaking of himself in the plural form like that if it was not true. So we believe in this church, the Trinity, and we believe that God is one, manifesting himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You ask why we believe that? We believe that because the Bible says that. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He was either one of three things. C.S. Lewis said this a long time ago. Jesus was either a liar, lunatic, or he was a Lord. He was one of those three. And you have to choose today which one you think, because either he was lying when he said that, or he was just plumb crazy, or he was right. And he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And you can choose whichever one that you want to pick when you look at that. But the biggest thing that I want us to look at this morning is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I couldn't take you to the virgin birth if you didn't believe in the Trinity, because it won't make a bit of sense to you. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to look at verses 18 through 25. Says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill that the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child, and they will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Okay. There are so many different people in this world who will look at this and they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because it doesn't make sense to you this side of heaven. And there are people that are here in the church and you believe in the virgin birth. Why do you believe in it? Because somebody told you that when you were a little bitty kid in a church somewhere, in a training union or whatever those things were called way back when, the Sunday schools and that nature. You just say, well, I believe it, Jesus. But when somebody comes up, and we have so many different people in this world that are challenging the beliefs that we think we hold, and we just get knocked all over because you don't know why you believe what you believe. And this morning and over the next several weeks, that is my goal. There are many a pastor that are out there in this world who are looking to build an audience. That is not what I'm looking to do today. It does not matter to me how many people are sitting out here in these pews. If you do not go home and read your Bible and live by what your Bible says, what does it matter that I've got 100 people that are sitting in this room if you are not followers of Jesus Christ, if you are not going home and doing the things that the Bible, not me, that the Bible is telling us to do? And if you don't have a common core belief that you are living by, what are we here for? There are so many churches, so many people within churches this morning, they don't have a clue what they believe. They don't have a clue why they believe it. Because nobody goes to the scripture and reads it and finds out why. And that's what I want you to do. That's why I challenge on Wednesday night deep beliefs about stuff. I'll bring out one just because it's not so crazy. Can women be pastors? I'm not going to talk about it this morning. You can come on another Wednesday night. Can women be pastors? We talked about that. Different people believe different things. Some people say yes. Some people say no. Is that something worth splitting over? No. Because you know what? I've seen many of women that can lead and do things. Is it God's perfect plan? Is it God's perfect plan for a single parent to parent a home? No. That's not the way he set things up. But can't single parents do marvelous jobs? Yes, they can. There's nothing to split over. But God does have a perfect plan that is out there. We talk about those things. We can discuss that kind of stuff. But whether Jesus Christ was born of a virgin is not up for discussion. The Bible says it. That's why we started last Sunday that said sola scriptura, scripture only. Today the Bible says that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Does that make any sense to me? No. It does not make any sense to me at all. But it says it right here. You have some people that will believe. Well, when he quoted right here, and if you will turn and look at verse 23, Matthew, and James, if you'll go back, Matthew was quoting Isaiah 7:14. Right there. And I want to bring out a couple of points about this, because right here he's using the word that English translates to be virgin. Well, in Isaiah, that word in the Hebrew was the Hebrew word alma, and that just simply meant young woman. And so there are challenges out there in the world today, I'm dropping things out of my Bible, that says no, that this isn't talking about a virgin, it's just simply a young lady. It's just a young lady. Mary was a young woman. And so there's no such thing as the virgin birth. Well, James put the first word up there for me, because when Matthew quoted that, he used the Greek word panthenos, which only ever is used when you're talking about someone who has never had sexual intercourse at all. Why did he use that word? He could have used the other word that I have up here for you. You can write these down. I'll test you on them later. You know, put up the James, because I can't remember how to say it. Third one. Yeah, Corazian there. Now, that is the word that he used in Matthew chapter 9. When Matthew, the same writer that wrote this, used that Greek word panthenos, for the virgin. He knew another word that just meant young lady, and he used it in Matthew chapter 9 when he healed the young girl. Jesus, you know, was healing that girl and raising her from the dead. And Matthew used the word Corazian right there. So if he was just wanting to communicate to us that Mary was a young woman, he would have simply used that word that he obviously knew, because he used it elsewhere in the Bible. But he specifically chose the word panthenos, because what Matthew, and what you can look at in Luke chapter 1, what he wanted you to know was, without a doubt, Mary had never been with Joseph or any other man. And you look at this, and it says right here, it's crazy to me how we even argue about it, because it says that it was from the Holy Spirit. And right there in verse, at the end of verse 20, the child, it says, Mary, take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He didn't say what is conceived of her is from Jesus, or from Joseph, I mean to say. It is from the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say from God the Father. That is a specific role of the Holy Spirit that happened right there, coming from God the Father. You can see the Trinity work out in the perfect form in these verses, because you had God the Father who was given the order of the Holy Spirit that was going down. And then there was birthed Jesus Christ the Son at that particular moment. So you see the Trinity in its action right there. And in Luke, and I'm not going to read all of this, but in Luke 26, it's the same thing as you go down there and you read about Mary. And it says in verse 31, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am," what? A virgin. Word, panthenos right there. She said it herself. "Since I am a virgin, how can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High," God the Father right there, "will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Bible is clear in this matter right there. The Son of God. He's coming from who? Not coming from Joseph. Those are the things that we're looking at today. And as you see that, you've got all of the people that can say many different things. You've got people within Christianity that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born? Anybody in here that does not believe that Jesus Christ is virgin born? Anybody? No takers on that. Okay. That's something that we believe in this church, as I said, because when you look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he prophesied it 500 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on this planet. And what you see in Matthew chapter 1 is the reason why I said last Sunday that I believe every word that is in this Bible, because not only have you seen 2,000 years of people that are writing, that are fishermen, that are doctors, that are tax collectors, that are prophets, that are judges, that are kings, and they wrote this book that is right here in front of us, and it all makes sense together. How can that be true if they didn't have God that was telling them what to write? And then you see the things that they wrote years and years and years and years down the road, it comes true. That's something that I take notice of right there. There's no book that is on a library shelf that is anything like this one that is right here. And so when you see something like the Trinity, when you see something like Balaam's donkey spoke, when you see something like a virgin had a child, it's simple for me to believe that. It's very simple for me to believe it. And when it tells me that in John 14:6, I think it was one of the kids on the end quoted that, Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man may come unto the Father except by me. John 14:6. When it says that, you better believe it. When the Bible tells you that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you better believe that. Because you will, whether you want to or not. You can sit here in this church, and I'm telling you, the reason why I'm bringing this out on Sunday morning is because there are a number of you that don't come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we talk about deep things that are like that. And I want you to understand, in this church, yes, we may be denominational, non-denominational, but there are core beliefs that we don't move on. And we don't move on the fact, and we'll look at next Sunday, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, that he died on a cross for you. And there are a number of people that are in this world who don't believe that. You may sit here and think that you have an understanding of Christianity today, but I'm asking you, are you living by this? Because these beliefs that we're talking about are not just something for you to know. It's not just knowledge that you have in your head. It does nothing for you when that's all that you use it for. It should be knowledge that you are putting to your feet. We serve a God. Listen to me now. We serve a God that is three and then he's one. And he's one, then he's three. And he had a virgin to make a child. He died on the cross and then he rose again on the third day. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for you and he didn't do anything. Now that is a God that is worthy to be served, not just to be, you know, in awe of as you sit there and just know all about him. The thing is that the Bible, and this is another verse I hope that you know that is true, because it says that on that day, many will call out to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not perform many miracles? And he's going to look at some of those people that can say that. I've been to church every Sunday. I never missed a Sunday school lesson. I drive the church van. I do whatever else that is out there. And he's going to look at some of those people that only know Jesus in name only. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. The next part of that says, but for those who know him, he's going to say, enter in, thy good and faithful convert, that good and faithful pew warmer, that good and faithful person who knew all about me, that good and faithful servant. I said it two Sundays ago. I don't know anybody who's going to go eat today, because I hope everybody's going to go back there and eat with us. But if you happen to go to a restaurant today and you give a big fat tip to a waitress or a waiter that doesn't do anything for you, you're not going to say that's a good servant. And neither does God look at you when all we do is we have no idea what we believe. We don't ever read the Bible. It's just bias somewhere. Maybe you have one, but you never open it. You never read it. You never live by it. You just take it for granted that somebody told you that these things are true. You can know that it's true. There is not any, I'm not scared of watching something on the History Channel or something on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm not scared for an atheist to sit here. I'm not scared for somebody to come and tell me that Jesus Christ is not real, because I know what I believe. And I know why I believe that. And I've read the evidence that is out there for it. It does not scare me. If it scares you, then your foundation must not be on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. It must not be there, and you need to get it there. And there is a mound of people that are trying to teach your children that this is not real. And they know more about it than most people in this room do. And that's what's sad. You have an atheist that will whip your blessed assurance all over this place on biblical knowledge. But we have so many preachers that are standing in pulpits not wanting to challenge you to do what Jesus Christ always commanded us to go and do. He said, come follow me. And that means you got to be walking. Ain't nobody following him while you're just sitting in the pew. He's gone. He's down the road. He's about his father's business, and you're just sitting there waiting for him to come pick you up and walk your legs around the right there. No, you got to follow Jesus Christ. We've got to serve him every day, and we are losing time. It is, he's coming, he is coming quickly. And we could go through all of those verses in here today. But if you want to know what we believe in this church, you can come over the next several weeks. You can just wait and listen to it online. If you don't want to sit here through it, that's fine. But we're going to talk about what we believe here, because I don't want there to be any question about what the core beliefs that are here. And I want you to realize when you do come on a Sunday night, or you do come on a Wednesday night, and we may be talking about something that you don't necessarily agree with, that is okay if it's not one of the core beliefs. If we are standing here talking about whether the Bible is right, or whether Jesus Christ is a risen Son of God, or whether he was a virgin born, and we're discussing that like it's up for debate, you need to get out of here. You need to run, and you need to go find another church that is preaching the gospel. Okay, but if we're in here talking about pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, it's left up to be studied. Theologians all across this world, the dead, and some hadn't even been born yet, are still pondering those things. And we can sit here and talk about it today, but it should never divide us. You can have a different belief than the person that's sitting over there about non-essential doctrines, but not about the non-negotiables. And I don't think there's anybody in here that I know of that doesn't believe some of these things. But if you have anyone that stands in a pulpit or in leadership over you that preaches something that is not the word, you don't tolerate that. And I'm telling you that from me too. You hear me say something that is not right, and I'm preaching it dogmatically, and it's something that's a non-negotiable, and you just know you can bring me some scripture, do so. I challenge you on that, because I love when people. Travis sent me a text message the other night about something, and well, he thought he was on to something too, but he wasn't. You wasn't, Travis. I'm sorry, but he tried, and I love it because we're studying. But see, because like these children, what good is it, y'all, if we're just entertaining them? What good is that? They don't know why they believe what they believe. They have no idea where to find it in the Bible. Why do you do the 66 books of the Bible? That way when they're in Habakkuk, they know where to go. I could give you a Bible and say, hey, turn for me to Nahum. Some people go, which way is that? You know, it's like the ABCs. You say the ABCs so you can get that. But did you hear the Bible verses that they were able to repeat right there, and the deep scripture that is within them right there? And that's, we've got to build off of that and go off of that, and we should do no less as the adults of this church, because they're going to be no better than the leaders that they have leading them, than the parents that they have in their homes, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or whatever. And so when we come in here, we have got to get down to what God has for us to do. We've got to know it, we've got to stand on it. And when, you know, big bad wolf comes and huffs and puffs, he doesn't blow your house down. No matter what somebody tells you about who Jesus is, and they don't have a clue about who he really is, you should know who Jesus is. Now, Earl, will you point to me that person you told me about earlier? I'm not exactly sure. Nicole, is that your name? If you'll come up here real quick.